Anyway, how many have you heard of the expression, never put your eggs into one basket? And you know what it refers to. Well, it usually comes with the financial things of your life, that you'll never put your eggs into one basket. But I'll tell you one thing, I have put my eggs into one basket when it comes to my salvation and to Jesus. I have nothing that I can lean onto or trust. Nobody, not even a friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you put this much trust in another human being, you will be disappointed. You will find one way or another, they will disappoint you. Jesus will never, ever disappoint you. And I'm not talking this from I've heard somebody say it or I've read it. I'm talking from a personal experience. Young people, if you want trust, if you want somebody to lean on to, if you want somebody, that a friend that sticks closer than a brother, you find out Jesus and who he is and what he means. My message is going to be out of the Bible's, the words in red. And basically, I asked the Lord, what am I supposed to preach on? I'm running out of things to say. And he says, well, preach about what you do every day, your life, how you live your life. It's very easy to go pick up something from online and preach on it with no experience behind it. But if you preach from experience in what you go through, and we all have the same trials, struggles, tribulations. If anybody says he has no tribulations and no trials in his lives, maybe he needs to check out whether he's a believer. I think even unbelievers, they have different troubles, but it seems to be going a lot smoother for them. But as a believer, if you're a child of God, believe me, Satan is going to get at you one way or another. It's up to you to put a stop to it and to resist him, and then he will flee from you. So yeah, I have put all my eggs into one basket when it comes to my salvation or to my God, and I know he will carry me through to whatever comes, and he is trustworthy, and he will. Don't ever look at your circumstances, always look at him. But before I want to get into my message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your love. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you allow us to come to your throne of grace, that we can have a one-on-one with you. Nobody here is more important than the other. You all love us incredibly. That you, if you would have had to die for just one of us, you would have done it. That's how precious we are to you. And I pray, Lord, we will return that somewhat as best as we can, that admiration for what you have done for us, that we will count it dear, that we will consider it, and it will become dear to us. So you will bless us with that insight. You will have your anointing here, your Holy Spirit with us. Open every ear and open every eye to understand, Lord, that we can lift one another up in these evil times, in these evil days, Lord Jesus, and know that there is hope in you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. You may be seated. My first scripture is out of John 16, verse 8. I just want to put that up for starters. It's a scripture that has had me wondering, any one part of that scripture, I've always wondered what it meant. And I think I do have some revelation on it. And it says, I want to add one note here. If people don't hear me and I'm too quiet, please let me know and I'll speak up. Is this loud enough for you? People hear me? Okay, that's clear. That we can help. I can't do too much about all the other stuff, but at least I can turn up and shout louder and talk louder. Or Tom can help me out with that. He can turn it up. He can turn me off if you don't want to hear it. Whatever works. My scripture is John 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, very interesting there, and of judgment. I will get into that a little bit later. And this scripture sort of reminds me of here's an illustration of a farmer and a lady who lived in a city, basically a city slicker, and she never had a garden. She always got her stuff from the store. And one day she ran into the farmer, and the farmer said to her, "You know, I like putting manure on my strawberries." And she thought, that was odd. "I like to put cream and sugar on mine." They were both talking about the same thing, but different parts. So they weren't wrong, either of them. One was talking about the fruit, and the other one was talking about the plant. So that's what this scripture, some of the scriptures that I have. We have to be careful in how we look at them, because the perspective of them might be a little bit different. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean it's wrong. So you have to be very careful and discern them with the Holy Spirit. And in going to John 17, verse 6 to 10, out of the King James Version, I will jump ahead a bit. I love John. If you want to know what Jesus thinks of you, and if what Christianity is, what he expects from you, go straight to Jesus, straight to the source. And that's the other thing when I asked him. I asked him, I read your word sometimes, I get nothing out. I'm like everybody else. I don't get nothing out of it. And then it must have been a prompting of the Holy Spirit that said, read the words in red. And I opened my Bible, and lo and behold, I came to the John 16 and 17. It is one of the most powerful things in Scripture, is those two chapters. Lots of it is powerful, but this, to me, is where the tire meets the pavement. So I will go through some of those scriptures, just a few of them. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples and also to us later on, because now we read it out of the Word. Now it means it's still alive. It's still Jesus speaking. That's the power of Scripture. I have manifest my name unto the men which you have given me. He's praying to the Father here. Yours they were. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are from you. For I have given unto them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. This is not only the disciples. It is the disciples, but it's not only disciples. So if you cannot take comfort in this, I don't know what else you can be comforted with. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. That means the ungodly, the ones that are not part of whom you are called. But for them which you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. This is an uplift to me that the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, has prayed for us. Or Jesus has prayed for us to the Father. He is still praying. It's still ongoing. He's interceding. He's praying for us. It's not that he loved the whole world and loves the world, and it's our job to pray for our lost ones. Not Jesus. That's our job. But here it's the Jesus, obligation, but it's he wants to pray for us, and he does pray for us. He intercedes for us daily, maybe hourly. In John 17, verse 12, it says, while I was with them in the world, and remember, he is still in the world here with them, but he's praying as if he's already finished. It's almost done. This was towards the end of his ministry. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that here he's talking about, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And the scripture that is written about us is not the same as the son of perdition. The scripture that is written about us is what I just read to you. Jesus has prayed for us. So you need not fear ever about your salvation. Never. Because you're in the best hands that you could be in. I pray not that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from evil. So guess who prayed that you should be kept from evil? Jesus is praying that you should be kept from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And then it says, sanctify them through your truth. Sanctify simply means to set them apart with the word of truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctified myself, that they also might be set apart through your truth, through the truth. So that is the best place that you can be in, is this case and scenario where we're in. If you are born again, you are the last thing you need to fear in your mind or in your heart is whether or what will happen to you. Your future, it cannot get any better. It is out of this world. Figuratively and literally, out of this world, what is coming for you? This is because of what has been done by Jesus Christ in praying to the Father for us. And then I'm going to jump back to the John 16, verse 7 to 11. He starts out by saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. I mean, it is very important for you that I go away. For if I go not away, guess who will come? Even there's comfort. The Comforter will. He cannot come if Jesus does not go away. So he calls him the Comforter, which we all know is the Holy Spirit. Will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. I do not understand why he couldn't be here when Jesus was here. That I don't understand. But I do know, Scripture says he could not come until Jesus went away. So now we have the Comforter. And do not look at that lightly. He's called Comforter for a reason. That means you might have struggles and troubles and trials, but there is the Comforter. That's why he's called the Comforter. And then it says, and when he is come, he will reprove, which means convince, the world of sin, of righteousness. Here's that word there. Is, I gave you that illustration about the strawberries there. You can look at it a few ways, and I'm going to explain. Of righteousness, of judgment. And then it explains itself somewhat. Because when it started out, it said it will convince the world of sin. It'll convince it of righteousness. Why of righteousness? And of judgment. Because they believe not on me. So because of unbelief, it's the sin of unbelief. That's what he's talking about here when it comes to the unbelief. The sin, it's unbelief. Because they believe not on me, he says. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. So that's where we get a bit of a split. It jumps back to us. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit has not convinced you yet that you are righteous, then you need to find out that he is convincing you of righteousness, that he placed his righteousness in you. And on the other hand, it could also be speaking that the world will see that there is righteousness and they cannot attain it except through belief in what whom the Father has sent. So there you go. For us here as a church or as the body of Christ, as believers, it needs to tell us or convince us of righteousness, that we are righteous. We have been made righteous. We have not earned it. It has been given to us by Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And of judgment, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because who is judged? Satan. So he jumps to the prince of darkness, of Satan, because he is judged already. The world is not yet judged. It says it'll reprove the world of sin, convince them of sin, and us, it'll convince that we are righteous, and the Satan is already knows he's judged. And that's why he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And in John 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he is, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth. This is very important for your growth and for your life as you walk with God, that you are guided in all truth, every area of your life. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he will speak, and he will show you of things to come. So not only will you be shown the truth of your present life, he will show you what's ahead. And then here's something interesting happened. His disciples said unto him, well, now, Lord, now you speak clearly to us, plainly, and you speak not in a proverb. Now we are sure that you know all things and that you need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Look at what Jesus said to them. Jesus answered them, do you believe now? Behold, the hour comes. Yeah, it is now come. You will be scattered, every man to his own. Look what he said before. He prayed for them. But he knew, man. He wasn't taken by surprise. Maybe they thought they will stand. But they got scattered. And yet, am I not alone because the Father is with me? So they got scattered within a few hours of that. And yet, look what Jesus said again after that in John 16, the last verse 33. And these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. The reason he used the word might, that choice is yours. When you are in Jesus, you have peace. So it's your choice to go to him to get that peace. And in this world, you will have tribulation. And guess what? The next sentence is, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, again, there's The fulfilling of it is that you need not worry about anything. I'm going to give a little bit of an illustration of I was watching this illustration about this lady was given an 8-ounce glass of water to hold. And the professor asked her, is that 8-ounce glass of water heavy? She said, no. And he says, well, hold it for another 2 or 3 minutes. He asked her again, is it heavier? And she said, yeah, it's a little bit heavier. And she says, well, I'm not going to make, and he says, I'm not going to make you hold it for 3 or 4 days, but you'll know what I'm getting at. After about 3 or 4 days, you'll find out it's almost unbearable. This is what happens when you hang on to the things that I just showed you about. Jesus has prayed for you, but you're holding on to them. Sure, they're not heavy in the beginning, but if you hold on to them day after day after day, after week, month after month, maybe year after year, they become a burden that you cannot possibly bear. And Jesus here has given us something very special. Look at this. I stole this one from Oswald Chambers. Have you ever come to Jesus? Look at the stubbornness of your heart. You would rather do anything than this one simple childlike thing. Come to me. If you really want to experience ceasing from sin, you must come to Jesus. And guess what Jesus also said? He says, if you want me, my disciples, you will do as I tell you. What does he tell us? We always think right away he tells us the impossible. He says, if you want to be my disciples, you will do as I tell you. He's telling you to come unto him. That's how simple it is. Will we come? Or will we say, no, I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. For all those, even on YouTube, who do not know Jesus, even you young people, you cannot be Christians because your parents are. God has no grandchildren, only children. So you need to individually seek out Jesus Christ yourself. And when you do this, you will find out you have entered into another dimension, I want to call it, because your spiritual life and your spiritual outlook has changed. All of a sudden, you see things from a totally different point of view. I remember having this conversation with my own son, Brandon, before he was saved. And Jesus had to get his attention, and he did. And I remember what he told me one time when he was in the hospital. He said to me, and for those who don't know, he was in the hospital with a brain infection in his brain. And when I asked him before he went into surgery or before they did all their tests, I asked him if he was ready, because I knew this could go either way, we could lose him, if he was ready to meet Jesus. And he just turned his head, just turned away. The next day when I talked to him, he says to me, I don't know if it was the next day or maybe a day later, he says, Dad, it is well with my soul. I still remember it till this day. Don't know if he remembers it, but whether he meant that, but that's what came out into my mind. He says, Dad, it is well with my soul. It broke me. I was just, if it he had to go through that just to get to know Jesus, it was all worth it. And the struggle wasn't over then. It got worse for a few weeks, for maybe 3 or 4 weeks before it got any better. But praise Jesus, I had to learn to even trust Jesus with my own kids. I remember when my kids went to Vida school, when they first went there, I said, Ellie was the first one to go, and I said, I don't know if I can bear this. And the Lord said spoke to me clearly. I remember what he said. He says, so, and what are you going to do about it when she's there? In other words, give her to me. Your job is to teach her at home, teach them at home. His job is to take care of him there, because you can. He's the all eyes. He's the seeing one. So he can take care. If your kids are a burden to you and you're worried about what they'll turn out, give them to Jesus. The earlier you do it. And don't interfere with praying for them in a way that ties God's hands. Pray God have your way with them. He is interested in saving them as much as you are, more, because he loves them and he wants the best for them. And it will turn out if you only choose to trust him. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah. For those who are wondering why Canada is burning off all across, becomes very interesting. Alberta Premier got some investigators going, but there are people who don't want it to be investigated. I wonder why. We're going to find out. It's going to be interesting on who lies to blame. I don't know. Things are starting to look up. Jesus is starting to point a finger at certain people, and they can't take it. So we'll see what will happen. Anyway, James had a message on how you have to depend on this great God. Make sure that you love him, that you have a relationship with him. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How many of you here, those who are watching over the internet, are you looking for Jesus to come back? Are you looking for Jesus, or are you looking for the Antichrist? I'm looking for Jesus, because it says, we, the ones that look for his appearing, he is going to come to them. And sometimes it gets scary when people have all sorts of excuses. We got to do this first. We got to do that first. Oh, we got to go through the tribulation first. No, he said, look for me, for my appearing. Don't look for the Antichrist. Look for me. Who's supposed to look for him? I love this scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Can you say that you're sanctified? That you've become perfect inside? That your God is totally at peace with your soul? Not what you did, but what he did. What did he do? He cleansed you. He gave you that hope. He made sure that the offering he gave was given to us. We did not go and earn it. Why? Because we would break our covenant all the time. So God made a covenant with himself, and he said, by one offering I have perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you going to believe that or not? Some people have a hard time believing it. They spend half their life crying, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I saved? Am I not saved? Do I belong to God or don't I belong to God? Listen to this scripture. For by one offering, he has perfected you. So don't worry about it. You're perfect in the eyes of God because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. You need to give him a good clap there. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love with wherewith he loved us. See, all people who become Christians, they have a problem with assurance of salvation. Why? Because they don't know the love of Christ. They haven't studied the Word. They don't know he loves you more than anybody could ever love you. For his great love, wherewith he loves us. He loves us greatly. Even when we were dead in sins, had he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He has raised us up together and made us do what? Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what he did. Our situation is already in heaven. We are seated there already. So he tells us he has raised us up together, not we ourselves, but he has raised us and made us. He forcefully made us sit together with him in heavenly places. He said he loved us before we accepted him with a great love. When we were dead in trespasses and sin, he loved us. And once we turn to him, that love becomes much stronger, that he is saying, I will take him, I will seat him in heavenly place where I am right now. So that is where you're really residing, in heavenly places together with Christ. If you would only study the Bible, God would open your heart and your mind to that truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not something that you earn. Oh, we got to work towards it. No, it's a gift from God. What do? When somebody gives you a gift, you work towards it. Oh, I got to do this and that. No, you receive it and take it. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are what? His workmanship. He made us that way. He created us. And then he made us holy and pure in his own eyes. That's his workmanship, not ours. Most people have no clue what the perfection of God is. The perfection of God is purity, holiness, and complete joy and peace. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. This is God's message to us today. It's lacking in many churches. I was listening to Charles Stanley today, who went to be with the Lord, is it a month or two ago? By the way, Pat Robinson followed him, which is good. They'll be enjoying it. Hallelujah. Sometimes I am a little jealous, but it seems like I still have work to do. Pat was 93 years old, and the other guy could hardly stand anymore. I don't know. I think he was in his 90s also. But they were faithful till the end. They preached the gospel, especially the one that always he had this strange way of saying, are you listening to me? Now listen. Now listen. He always made sure he said, listen to me when I speak. Do you understand? So our brother who is in heaven is now enjoying. He doesn't have to say, listen. He doesn't, because he knows everybody's listening, everybody's understanding. But he was preaching these words. Charles Stanley has been an awesome preacher throughout his life. And don't say he didn't have persecution. He got persecution like nobody else did around these parts or around this time of dispensation of time. He went through a lot and he had to suffer a lot, but he remained faithful. He believed in his God and he never wavered. That's what God wants of us. To never waver, but to depend. Oh, we might get mad. We might get irritated. He had a pretty good illustration about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't just pray, dear Lord, please take this thorn from my side. No, he had some sharp words with God. And God said, my grace is sufficient with you, with me. So that's what we have to look at. His grace is sufficient with him. His grace is sufficient for us, regardless what we go through. So let the Lord open your heart to this. He is never far from us. You might not feel his presence that close. I'm telling you, I've experienced some stuff in the last couple of years, but his presence was there all the time. All I had to do is pay attention. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like the fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Jesus.